All right, if you've got your Bibles this morning, Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, one of those little bitty books back there in the New Testament. Letters of Paul to the church at Colossae. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for, Lord, this opportunity to be gathered in this place together as your church. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, just working and moving in our hearts and our lives today. And Lord, how your Holy Spirit just works and guides us each and every day. Lord, I thank you that we can be gathered here this morning. And I pray, Lord, as we open your word now, that you would just open our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds. And I pray that your spirit would just be in this place. Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan from here. And Lord, that we would just hear from you today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Paul writing here to the church at Colossae, verse number 1 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And he gives us a description there in verse 2. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You know, Paul, as he writes letters to the churches, we see if we read through the scriptures, we find out he always writes his letters and he always starts out with kind of the same introduction a little bit, right? A little bit of a introduction to who he's writing to, why he's writing there. A lot of times we see, and then we see this continual reminder as he writes to the church that we were thankful and that we're praising God. And I wonder today if it might not change things in the life of the church today if we would always gather together with prayer and thanksgiving when we come to the house of the Lord. Are we thankful when we're together? Are we praising God when we're together? Or are we burdened? Are we struggled? Are we tired? Long week, right? Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the first thought in our mind when we come to church is not that we're thankful. Paul always brings this reminder in his letters, and I think as he does it, he gives this encouraging thought in verse 3 that we read there, praying always for you. And we've been talking a lot about prayer in the last several weeks in our church, being intentionally praying for each other, praying for our church family, praying for those in our community, praying that God would work in the hearts and the lives of those in our community, and also work in giving us direction, even as we've talked about this morning, desiring God's direction for this church. Where he might lead us to go. All of these things are an important part of our life as Christians. And we consider how important it is to pray. Paul mentions that he's praying always for this church. At Colossae, as we think about it today, that we would come into this mindset that Paul had a genuine love for these people. And it's a great opportunity for us today to consider that is an important part of the body of Christ still today. That we have genuine love and concern for each other, that we pray for each other. And he says there that he's always praying for them. I don't think as Paul wrote this letter to the church that it was a lie, but that he genuinely prayed for them. Careful thought for us to consider today that if we're going to tell somebody we're going to pray for them, that we actually would, right? If we make it a priority in our life to pray for each other, then we see the movement of God. We see the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We see Him giving us direction and understanding and working in people's hearts and lives. We understand today that not in any case or in every case can we do anything about the situations we're in or in the situations in other people's lives, but God can. And I think it's important just in that verse to be reminded that Paul prayed this way and he wrote this letter this way because he genuinely prayed for the churches. So challenge your heart this morning to consider, what does it really mean to always pray for each other? To love each other in this pattern. And Paul gives us that reminder here in this verse. He says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. This is the next part of that verse, right? He says, I'm always praying for you ever since you came to this place of understanding Jesus Christ. Ever since you came to this place of being what God has called us to be, since you heard of the faith in Christ, and think about these things. We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for you, right? Since you heard of the faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have toward all the saints. Now he gives this other description, right? It's much more than just simply saying we're praying for you, but he shows this picture of love. And to the church at Colossae, he says this love that is obvious, right? This love which you have to all the saints. No wonder today what it might look like in the life of the church if that was our biggest priority today, to pray for each other and love each other. Pray for each other daily. Love each other daily. Look for opportunities. Look for these situations in our life when we can really know what it means to love, right? When we come to just a normal mindset in our life today and in our individual lives, when we think about the people that we love, most oftentimes it's associated with some sort of sacrifice, right? Moms are really good at this, right, moms? You show your love every single day for your children and all the things that you sacrifice, and sometimes your grown adult children that you call your husband, right? We show that kind of love for each other. We will sacrifice those things. You know, today that the greatest challenge that we can understand in the life of the church today is sometimes the best way we show our love for people is to sacrifice. Sacrifice through time, sacrifice through energy. Sometimes it's through just physical ways that we help others. We encourage each other. We show up at each other's homes to help each other through things. We talk about all of these different things that exhibit this love. But as Paul mentions it here to the church at Colossae, he says there's this reminder here in the love which you have to all the saints. Again, it brings this reminder that it's to everyone. To every person that we come in contact with, every brother and sister in Christ, that we have this desire to love. He says in verse 5 then, as he goes on, "For the hope which was laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Paul, as he writes here, reminds us of a few things, right? He talks about this picture of faith, and he talks about this picture of love, and then he brings to the reminder for us that we consider the things of hope, right? Today, as we think about these things, this attitude of love is an opportunity for us today. It is honestly very specifically when we tear apart these particular verses, we see three very distinct things. For every person today, if we come into realization that we have a need of a Savior today, it is that faith in Jesus Christ that gets us to this place, right? It is faith, as Paul mentions it here, faith first. And then we see these things as he moves on in these verses. We talk about love. We understand today in the life of the church that we cannot truly love until we know who Jesus is. You believe that? You see today, just think about the picture of the world today and what we consider love in the world, right? Love from the world's perspective is not the true definition of love, right? We love most of the time, very specifically from the world standards, it's a conditional thing, right? It's based on certain criteria. Love today, and as we've talked about many of other times, love is the same for our dog and our chocolate candy bars and our friends and whatever else, right? It's just general term that the world uses today. We see genuine love from the Heavenly Father is exhibited through Jesus Christ. And when we come to right relationship and fellowship with Him, we understand our need for a Savior, then we understand true love. We understand that through faith in Jesus Christ. We understand that it is sure, very specific for us and sure in our commitment to Jesus Christ. Then that love comes, and then He talks about hope, right? When we consider hope, what is hope? Right, we're hoping for something beyond this world. We're hoping for what we see in relationship with Jesus Christ is eternity. Hope beyond all of the things that we can hold on to here in this world. And he gives this reminder to the church here, which is laid up for you, he says, where? Not in this earth, right? We don't hope for the things that we see. We don't hope for the things that are right in front of us. We hope for the things that are unseen. We hope for the things of eternity. And our focus is now on the things of eternity that we can't really see, but we know because the Word of God tells us so, that there is something that we can celebrate in. That we're hoping for the things of the future, which is laid up for you, he says, in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. As a reminder for us this morning in the life of the church, what is it that we're expressing to the lost world? Right? Very simply, what we just discovered right there, that there is a sin problem today, and there is a cure for that sin problem. That cure is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we find faith, and we find love, and we find hope for the future. We can boil it down so simply today, right? When we consider today, what is the message of the church? What has God called for us to live in and to celebrate this morning? These things. The Word of truth, he says, of the gospel. In verse number 6, which has come unto you, and look what he says, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Now the true picture of understanding today that the church, that we understand true relationship with Jesus Christ, the evidence is the fruit that we see in our life, right? The evidence is that there's something driving us today. There's something pointing us in a different direction. That the goal and the desire of the church today is to see others come to know Jesus Christ. To have an opportunity to understand what it means to follow in relationship with Jesus Christ and know those things. If you think about this morning, I gave you this challenge to look at this little flyer back there on the back table for our next steps of the church. You realize if you fold it open, first thing it says, Solid Rock Baptist mission statement, serving our community to declare hope and life. That's the purpose of the church. To declare the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And what it means to have a life focused on Him. And it's an opportunity as we see it from the Word of God, exactly what we see. The hope that we should be sharing. The hope that we should be living in our life, in our relationship together as a church. And he brings that reminder, whereof you've heard it, right? We heard it in the Word of God. We've seen it in the truth of God. If we study these things and we live in it, which is coming to you, and that's what he says, as it is in all the world. It's a reminder this morning, today, that we recognize in the life of the church today and in this community of Fowler and everywhere else that we might go all over the Arkansas Valley and in our state and in our country and in our world, that God is there. And that the hope of God is in every corner of this world. Whether we realize it or not, whether we're actually standing there and we're a part of it or not, it's important for us to recognize that He is already there. And the challenge that comes to the church today is that we would live in that. And then the evidence is there, he says, and it bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you. There should be an evidence of that, right? There's an evidence that there was a change in my life today as an individual Christian. That evidence is that Jesus continues to guide in my life. That evidence is that I make decisions in my heart and my life today that are honoring to God. And I make a choice this morning to be in this place and worship God and to live in fellowship with the Lord today in order that others might see Jesus. That they might have fellowship and true understanding with Him. Think about it. Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So from the very beginning. Paul says, since the very day that you came to know Jesus Christ, we continue to bear that fruit. For whatever reason today, we find this often situation in the church today that once we're saved, that's good enough, right? We're comfortable. There was a day and a time in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ. I know that now I have hope of everlasting life in Him, and that's good enough. Now I can do what I want, right? I can have my life, live it how I want to live it, and just wait for the Lord to come and get me, right? That's the condition of most church life today. It's not what God expects of His church. Not what God has called us to in the life of the church today. But we know that there is great hope in these things, bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, he says, and since the day that you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And then he gives a challenge in verse 7. Here's very specific to this church. In Colossae, he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now he gives us a description as he's writing to the church. They had a faithful minister, a faithful servant of God that was teaching them, that was leading them, that was guiding them. It's an important part of church life today. That when we consider the body of Christ, wherever that might be in each little geographic location, that we would have faithful servants. And realize today that faithful servant does not mean one person standing in a pulpit on a Sunday morning. I want you to think about that, right? The call that God has brought to us today is the body of Christ. Is to be faithful servants, each and every one of us. To be faithfully serving the Lord day in and day out, looking for the opportunity to lead others to Christ. It happens to be in this particular verse, as Paul makes mention to it to the church here at Colossae, that they have a faithful servant. They have a faithful leader that is willing to preach and to teach and to guide the body of believers here at Colossae. But it's important for us to know that the key picture that he says there, that we are a fellow servant. It means they're working together. It means God's direction for the life of the church today is that we would come together as a church, that you would recognize and that I would recognize that each and every one of us have a very important role to play in the body of Christ. Well, we see this growing trend in life today, in the life of the church, that it's put upon a few people to do all of the work of the church. And the rest of the people just show up. I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that God wants more from you than just simply showing up to church today. That God wants to use you. That God has a place for you. That there's an opportunity for you to be used in the ministry of this church and in the whole body of Christ if you're willing to do those things. Now, most people today will gravitate toward just simply allowing the people that are already doing it to do it, right? That common sense says if there's somebody doing the job, just let them keep doing it. Even if they're doing a bad job, right? Nobody will ever tell anybody they're doing a bad job because they don't want to have to be the one that steps in and takes over, right? Everybody looks back and we go home and we say, oh man, that could have been better. They could have done this. They could have done that, right? Sunday school lesson could have been better. That preacher could have surely preached a lot better than he did today. That guy leading the music could, oh man, that's the same guy here, right? That guy, somebody could have done that better, right? I'm waiting for one of you to step up and lead the music. That was the hint there, right? Keep doing it. God's called us to do something in the church, right? There's an opportunity and God has blessed you with those things. Capability to do those things. The church as a body is so much greater when we're willing to do what God has called us to do. And we can look around at individuals and say, oh, they're doing a good job. I'll just sit back and watch. And then we go home and complain about them the whole time, right? Thinking I could have done better. And you probably could. If God called you into that place, into that situation, I wouldn't say jump up and volunteer to do something God didn't call you to do. But make sure that you know that it's something that God is calling you to do. But when God calls us as the church to do those things, we just simply say yes. And that's the reminder that I think Paul brings in this verse to the church at Colossae, that Epaphras was their fellow servant. Yes, he was the leader in the church at that moment. But he was a fellow servant, that he called them to come into fellowship together, just as he's called today in this church, in this place, that we would work together. Who, he says, is for you a faithful minister of Christ. What was he doing? You ever consider today what it means to be a faithful minister of Christ? We consider ministry, right? What does ministry look like? Something that we've been trying to evaluate in the life of our church. And what has God called us to do, right? We recognize today some of the many things that God is calling us to do in the life of the church right here in Fowler. That God is calling us to very specific things. And he's gifted each of you for service in those things. If you're willing to do those things. Who also, in verse number 8, declared unto us your love. Look what he says, in the Spirit. Now, Paul's writing here, and you consider where Paul wrote these letters from, right? We have to go back historically and consider that Paul is in a prison cell writing these letters to the churches. Because of his faithful service to the Lord, he is in prison. Right? And now he's writing to the church and he's talking, and as he's referenced even in the first part of the verse there, he mentioned himself, he mentioned Timothy, mentioned these individuals that were servants of the Lord. And we get down here to verse 8, he says, Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. What does that mean? That the faithful minister that was in the body of Christ was also sharing with others, hey, the church is praying for you. Right? Man, there's a great opportunity to consider today that for any one of us in the body of Christ could go out into this community this week and honestly, genuinely talk to others in this community and say, guess what? Solid Rock is praying for you. Right? And we would be truly in that fellowship and relationship and know that we are genuinely praying for others. Not only that are a part of this church, but those that aren't yet a part of this church. And for those that have been set apart from this church for whatever reason recently, that we continue to pray for them. And it's an encouragement today to give you this opportunity. Consider that it means a lot to individuals when you genuinely pray for them. And it means even more when you tell them you've been praying for them and that you're telling them the truth, right? This, for Paul, was an encouragement because he heard it from the church. One of the churches that he helped establish was still faithfully praying for him. They were continuing to pray for him. For this cause we also, in verse 9, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And just think for a minute now, if you were willing to go out and genuinely pray for individuals today in this church, in this body of believers, and the ones that are outside of this church building today, and in this community, and everywhere else that we go, if we genuinely begin praying for those individuals, and then we start to recognize that when we're starting to pray for them, what does he say there? That we also have made it a priority to pray for you, right? If I know that you're praying for me, I'm going to be thinking about that, right? Does it bring encouragement to you to know that people are praying for you? It should, right? If they really genuinely are, right? It's a whole lot more than just simply saying, I'm going to pray for you, but genuinely praying for each other. Does it encourage you when you pray for each other and with each other? That we take time to pray with each other on a daily basis? And would it encourage our hearts? And you think about what he says there. Since we've heard of your prayer and your love for us, look what he says. We do not cease to pray for you. Well, he's just saying for just a minute that Paul's sitting in a prison cell, like we said, right? And he finds priority to pray for other people. I don't know about you, but I think if I was sitting in a prison cell, probably my thoughts are going to be on myself, right? My own safety, my own protection, what I want, praying that God would get me out of that prison cell because I got other things I'd like to do. I don't really want to be in that place. And I think just genuinely this morning, whether we're physically in a prison cell or not, many of us as believers are imprisoned with a lot of things today. We're bogged down and tied down with so many things that are keeping us from truly knowing what God could do in our life. And we're so consumed with my own wants. So I'm so consumed with my own desires and my own plans that I'm not seeing those things. And a great opportunity for us this morning in the church is to genuinely pray for others. And when we pray for them, God reveals to us what really is going on in their life. If you haven't tried it, try it this week. Pray genuinely for people. And pray that God would help you to understand where are some areas in their life where they need help, where they need encouragement, where they need love, where they need a reminder of hope. If we pray for those things, then God is going to reveal those things to us, and we're going to pray in a different pattern. And it's no longer about me sitting in the midst of my struggle and my difficulty in my prison cell, but it's about praying for you, that God would encourage you, that God would bless you. Oh, we pray intently for those that have wandered away from the Lord in recent days. God will bring them back to Himself. God will bring them back into fellowship, and He will bring us to a different place spiritually where we need to be. It will encourage in our hearts and our lives. He said, we did not cease to pray for you. And look what he says, to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul says in the midst of this prayer life that he's praying not only that they would have joy and peace and comfort in their life, not praying only for those very specific things that were outlined, but also that they would have the knowledge of His will. Man, what else could we ask for today than that people would pray for God's will in our life? Understand today that the challenge that we're faced with most of the time is not always do we want to be in the will of God, right? We've determined, we've discussed this many a times in the life of the church. It's very simple. God's will is outlined for us in Scripture. Very plainly, right? God's will is that none should perish. That means that He wants every person in this world to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And if we pray that every one of us as individual believers in Christ would be in the will of God, we would understand where we are first, and we would understand the need of others that aren't there yet, right? Now, we pray for the will of God in our life, it means that He's going to use us to lead others to Him this week. Now, that just changed life, right? Because now that means I'm going to do something I'm not really comfortable doing. What did Paul say? He's praying that they would have a knowledge of the will of God. That we would pray that we would understand in our life what would it look like today in Solid Rock Baptist Church if everyone that is here this morning made a commitment to pray for the will of God this week. To pray intently for the will of God in our lives and in the life of the other people in this place, in this community, in the surrounding areas. He says very specifically here, the knowledge of His will. Right? First of all, that they understand what the will of God is. And that's what they were praying for. That the church would understand that. In all wisdom, and look what he says, and spiritual understanding. That Paul was praying that the church at Colossae would have the knowledge of the will of God. Right? Then what does he say? Look at that verse. The knowledge. And then they would have the wisdom, which means they not only know it, but they know what to do with it. Right? We've discussed this before. We consider in the life of the church that there's a big difference between knowing things and using those things. Right? We can know a whole lot of things. If we never practice them, we never put them into practice, it's useless. It's just knowledge. It's the world we live in today. World full of knowledge, right? But what good is it if we don't wisely use it? What good is it for somebody to go to school for 10 years and become a doctor and say, oh, well, that was good. I got all that knowledge, right? I could help everybody I know, but I'm going to sit at home and watch TV instead. Right? What good is it? What good is it today in the life of the church if we know that the cure for the sin problem in our world is Jesus Christ, and the church, we never use it? We never take it seriously in our lives. We never make it a priority in our hearts. Paul was praying that the church would do what God had called them to do. And that's what we ought to be praying this morning in this place. Well, we have the knowledge of the will of God. We pray that God would help us to wisely use those things. And look what he says. And spiritual understanding. It comes along with it, right? We have knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have the wisdom to understand when is the right time. And this spiritual understanding is to know that there's a difference between right and wrong. And there's a call that God has brought to the church to spiritually discern the things in our life. I wonder today in the heart of the church, when we make decisions in our life, just as a general rule today, when you make a decision, you're faced with a decision in your life this morning, what's the first thing you do? Do we turn to Christ? Do we look to the Word of God? Do we look to the truth of Jesus Christ? Or we try to figure it out first, right? Start gauging all these things. We've got a decision to make today. And what am I going to do in this? So first normal process, and I think any person's human mind, is to start weighing the options, right? I've got a decision to make, okay? And as a general rule, we want to move forward. And just our human nature says, I want to be better. I want to do better. Whatever that decision is for us, whether it's a financial decision, whether it be some sort of position in your job, whether it's a relationship issue, whatever it might be, normally our human nature says we want to be better than we were yesterday, right? So we start gauging those things. I wonder today in the life of the church, what if God's genuine will for you was for you not to be better than you were yesterday? Would we be okay with that? What if God's will and direction for our life is that we wouldn't be in a better financial situation tomorrow? Or that we wouldn't be in a better status position in our job? Or we wouldn't move on into this relationship that we want to move forward with? Even though, you know, from my own perspective, it's best for me, in God's direction, it might not be. Would we be okay with praying and spiritually discerning the fact that even though it's something I might really desire for my physical nature and my plans and my thoughts, it might not be where God wants me to be? Might not be exactly what God desires for us. And we consider today in the life of the church that what we think might be best for the church right now, because of the outward appearance of things, we do it anyways, right? It may not be what looks best for us, but we're going to do it because we know God told us to do it. Or we make a wise spiritual decision that says, this is where God is leading. That ye may walk, look what he says in verse 10, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Man, what a better example for the church, right? Well, we pray according to these things. Paul prays for all of these things. He's not praying that the church would prosper and be all the things that it wants to be, but he's praying for the will of God. And praying as he mentions these things that you might walk, what? Worthy of the Lord. Now we have to take into consideration, what does it really mean to walk worthy of the Lord? Right? Walk worthy of that relationship. We understand today that there is not anything in this world that we could ever do to deserve what Jesus did for us at the cross. Not anything. The best life you could live as a Christian will never repay what Jesus did for me. It's just an opportunity for me to strive to live worthy of the God that loves me. To strive daily. In the life of the church, the conversations that you have at home, the lifestyle that you're living right now at home, the conversations and the lifestyle we live at work or at school or wherever it might be, that it's a desire in our heart to simply just honor God, to walk worthy of the God that we say we love. To strive diligently day in and day out to look for opportunity to walk worthy of the God that we love. To take opportunity in our lives. Look what he says, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. When we make a decision today, when we talk about our Christian walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, we were to stand physically before our Heavenly Father today, are we walking a life worthy of that? We give an account for our life this morning, for this last week of our life. Did we walk worthy of the God that we say lives in our life? We walk worthy of that relationship. Look what he says. Worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Is every action and every attitude and every thought in our life today in line with pleasing God? When you get up in the morning and you go about the things that you have to do, is it the driving force in your life this morning that says, I want to please God today with my life? And I want to please God with what we're doing in the life of the church. I want to please God with what I'm doing in my life and home, with my finances, with my job, with my relationships, with all the things that we could ever talk about all day long. We could cover all of these areas of our life. Is it pleasing to God? And if as the church we've desired in our hearts something other than to please God with our life, we've got to come to that place of understanding today. That's what Paul prayed for this church. And what I think we still see in the life of the church today, being fruitful, look what he says, in every good work. That every good thing that we do and every action and every attitude of our life would be fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now as a church today, it's a great opportunity for us to know that God's desire and design for us is that we would increase in that knowledge of Him every day. That we would study the Word of God, we'd understand more completely what it means to know God and to live obediently to Him, and that every day we would grow in that knowledge. He says in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. Man, Paul hits every area of the life today, doesn't he? Every thought, just in this simple letter to the church, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, look what he says, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Paul's writing to the church here, writing to us as individual Christians, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power of God, that we recognize, and he gets down to this section in the letter as he's writing it here in this chapter, as we read, we're not even halfway through the chapter. We see a reminder as Paul writes in this verse, very basically right back to the core of what we believe, right? In the church, that we would walk according to these things, that we would give thanks unto the Father, that has given us even the opportunity to be a part of the family of God. We give thanks this morning. We recognize today in the life of the church and as in your own individual spiritual walk and relationship with the Lord, the best way that we show an evidence of thankfulness and gratitude for what God has done for us is that we live an obedient life. When we strive daily to live obediently to Christ. In every area of our life, in every action and every attitude, he says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, right? We understand that. Well, we came back to from the very beginning that the only way we are where we are today in the life of the church is because Jesus died on a cross for us. That He took care of my sin problem and your sin problem and every sin problem all over this world. And He did it, according to Scripture, once for all, right? One time for every person in this world, He redeemed us. He shed His blood on that cross for what? Even the forgiveness of that sin. The challenge for us this morning in the life of the church is that we live in that forgiveness. That we understand the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and we live in that and we make it a priority in our life to live according to the truth of God. We'll be profitable in those things. That we strive for honoring God in our life. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and Your truth this morning, Lord. I thank You that You've guided us in these verses and a reminder as Paul writes to the church at Colossae that there was a great call. Lord, a great challenge and a reminder in this letter, Lord, that we walk worthy of the calling that You've given to us, that we desire in our heart this morning to just simply be the church that You've called us to be. Lord, I pray this morning in this room, Lord, if there might be someone here that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, they don't really know what it means. Lord, to have prayed a prayer of acceptance and believing in You. Lord, not only just simply saying the words, but truly giving their heart and their life to You. Lord, I pray in this time of invitation that they might walk down this aisle and we might help them to understand what it means to know You. Lord, that they might commit their heart and their life to You today. Lord, I pray for those that can say this morning that they've done that. They know that they've made a commitment to You and they've turned their heart and their life over to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to look truly and deeply into our heart, Lord, that we might discern whether or not it is, Lord, that we're walking worthy of what You've called us to. Lord, that we might make commitment today and recommitment in our life, if that's what it means, to be obedient to what you've called us to do. Lord, to set aside all the struggles and difficulties of this world and all the challenges that we're faced with this morning and just simply be willing to be used of you, to follow in your will and your direction. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, I pray, Lord, as we have this time of invitation, that we'd be obedient to your call. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. 294, if you're using the hymnal. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be gathered in this place. I pray that you would just challenge and encourage our hearts as we leave from this place this morning. Lord, that we're reminded of your Holy Spirit and your work in our lives. And Lord, that we might strive to be in your will this week as we go out into the world. We thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.